Hello, everyone, for what's sure to be another fantastic episode of whatever this is. Joe?
Possibly the last episode that I'll be featured in. You never know. You never know. But hey, anyway, head on over to dwmproductions.net and check out the wide variety of masks that Tom has ready to ship.
Oh, ready fuck. To All ship. Right. Let's start over. God damn it. I'm glad you did that, though. Always got to remind me about that.
It's your gimmick.
No, I mean, so we can edit it. So at the start of the videos, it'll all be there.
Yeah.
And that's the point, you see. DWNProductions.net. Shut up, dog! Masks, bus, props. Custom work. If you want something custom made, maybe I can make it for you. Fast customs. Oh, shit.
Go ahead. Go ahead. You already started. FastCustomShirts.com. Head on over. Check out a wide variety of shirts. You got something there for everyone. And big-ass sizes for you big-ass people.
If you want custom work, it's in the name. Hello and welcome to whatever this is, wherever you are listening and or watching it. Joe, how was your week?
I don't know. Let's see. Yes, if we'd have recorded this yesterday, I think I could have told you. But I don't know. I've just been working and, you know, taking medications and, you know, and that's it.
Yeah, it's weird. You do it one day later, and it's just like, oh, I forgot everything.
Yeah, I am. I'm all, like, thrown off now as soon as you ask me, like, what did I do last week? Shit, I worked. I've been prepping for Texas Frightmare Weekend. Yeah, that's what I've been doing, prepping for that.
Yeah, I finished the last two pieces that aren't going to sell today, so.
Awesome.
That's nice. I had a couple backup pieces. It's just like, all right, if I have time and get done with everything, then I'll have these couple things to paint. I'm just going to save that up for old, what's it called? THC, Texas Hunters Con. And, yeah, I got hit with a good amount of work.
Good.
Needed fast. So I have... 210 masks to make and trim and paint and put the straps and bag up. And about this time next month, it needed to be shipped out. So, not complaining, thankful, but I'm already burnt out. I've been pouring this shit like a motherfucker. I was just like, yeah, all right. I'm going to have... some time to sculpt and make some new shit for Texas Haunters Convention. Yeah, I might have one new thing. So now I still got to make stuff for that. But it's the thing. It's, you know, you got to get the money when it's there. You can't all the time gamble on, oh, let me just do this and see how it works out. If yep. It's there, it's there.
I had some financial... irregularities, I should say, that I wasn't expecting and had to take on some work that I really didn't want to, but had to, you know, had to. And that's the way it goes.
Let me ask you this there, Yosef. How's the old back and balls doing?
Seems to be doing okay.
No numbness?
Well, like, today's the first day that I didn't take any muscle relaxers or... No, I'm still taking the anti-inflammatory so I don't flame on, but...
Too late.
But the muscle relaxers, I said, well, you know, let me cut that shit out for a little bit because I did a little drinking on Friday, you know, and with muscle relaxers, that shit hits you real quick, you know?
Yeah, have a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did.
Go out like a rock star and shit.
Yeah. Got to go out somehow. Might as well, you know, make it memorable.
But yeah, the two of you who are listening, that'll be at Frightmare. hey, come down and see us. It'll be all right. Joe said we're not together. Mm-hmm. Erotic. Or located next to each other. So, yeah, I'm really not looking forward to it. Last year, it was just like, yeah, this is kind of just another convention now, but at least I can talk to these guys. And yeah, now it's just going to be another convention.
I'm not very thrilled of where I'm situated, and I don't know how I'm going to set it up. It's like I got no plan in mind.
What's the problem?
I just figure it out when I get there. You know, I don't know. I think I'm going to be taking too much stuff for the smaller space that I have, but it is what it is.
Like, you're not on the end, or?
No, I'm not.
Gosh.
I'll make it work.
It's like, what, just two tables and then just that space, or?
Yeah, it's like a 10 by 10 space. So I think I'm doing shelves behind me, maybe two tables, and make a U in front of those shelves if I can, if they don't stick out that far. I don't know. I'll figure it out. Go.
Is it specifically a 10 by 10 space that you're getting?
I think so.
Okay, because I know I was surprised that the spaces were a little smaller last year when I got there. Excuse me. Because I looked at the contract or whatever, and it was with the spaces. They said, I want to say 6 by 8. And for, you know, what's it called? A convention hall, a convention center. Like, that's kind of small. Like, all the shit they usually, I mean, everyone's different, but I mean, usually a convention center, it's a 10 by 10 space.
Mm-hmm.
This was not. So I hope you actually have a 10 by 10 space, because you usually have a lot of shit. And if it's just that one, that's not going to be awesome.
Yeah, I hope so too, because it will complicate things for me. But, well, you know, that's a Friday problem. I'll deal with that shit then.
Oh, yeah, you probably have to tell everybody to fuck off, too. Like, probably. Sorry, I can't have you selling shit. There's no room.
Keep walking.
Yeah, it's, it is what it is. I mean, it is what it is at this point. It's just going to see everybody, because, I mean, it is costing a lot more to go.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I'll make it work. I always do, you know, do something, figure it out.
Hey, if you need a hand, let me know. Don't forget those flyers.
I got the flyers in the truck.
Hell yeah. Hopefully you don't get fucking broken into, because right. If you do, those will go right in the garbage.
The first thing they'll take is those flyers. Ooh.
Oh, it's heavy. Oh, garbage.
Oh, wow. It's the flimsy flyers, too. You can't even scope the scrape paint with them. Wow.
Well, you can write on the back. Mm. I thought that would be a good thing. I was like, all right, you know, have a little note you can write on there. Somebody needs something. Or spend the extra $12 for our website. Ah, let's just pocket that $12 for a beer at the convention center. So, Joe,
yeah,
I know you, and you know me, and we're both a couple of horror fiends. So, you want to talk about the passing of Robert Croman?
Well, I consider myself a movie fiend, you know? Like, I didn't throw, like, in the name of the business, I didn't throw, like, creepy shirts or shit like that, you know? You know, if I'd have made my own podcast, I wouldn't have thrown horror specific in the name, you know, because then I would just, you know, feel I have to talk about horror all the time. And I like other shit, you know. But yeah, Tom, so this past week marked the passing of Roger Corman. Are you familiar with this guy?
He was not a poor man.
No.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of his movies, but we'll get to that. I'll let you say, you know, the nice things first.
All right. So I watched this documentary on him. which if you're familiar with him, there's nothing in this documentary that you won't know. It is called Corman's World. And the exploits of some, I don't know, rebel filmmaker or something is like the byline or subtitle or whatever. But Corman's World, I saw this on YouTube. And when you look for it on YouTube, there's like, hey, you know, this costs this much to watch. But right next to it is the same thing. It's like, hey, this one's free to watch. So, of course, I'm going to click on the free one, you know, because fucking bootlegging is where it's at, baby. It's where it's at. So, yeah, this documentary talks about his humble beginnings, you know, and how he just started making... just kind of fell into the movie business, not knowing really shit about it, and just ended up making a movie, and then making another movie, and making another movie, and then like swinging a deal where he could have 10 movies in production at once, you know. So, and most of them he didn't direct, he was a producer, you know, and that's the guy that gets shit done. Your director, he's just a fucking schlub, you know. That used to be back in the golden age of Hollywood. It was the producer that was the big fucking name, you know. You know, produced by, boom, a so-and-so film. And then the director might have his name somewhere at the bottom. Because fuck him. He's just a hired gun, you know. Nobody gives a shit about that. But he hired a lot of guns, you know. Like that Opie kid from Happy Days. He got him to direct his first movie. And, you know, that Martin Scorsese guy, you know, he did some shit for Roger Corman, and Jack Nicholson did some shit for Roger Corman, and Joe Dante, and, you know, Peter Bogdanovich, and, you know, just a bunch of people, you know, and they're all interviewed in this. This isn't like one of these, like the one last one you talked about was on It, right? Or on Pennywise.
Oh shit, that Stephen King one or whatever.
Yeah, where they didn't even fucking speak to Stephen King, right? Because yeah, this one is not some guys that go to a convention with like a Nikon camera and film it all with a Nikon camera. This was an A&E film that back when A&E was a thing. Remember when they used to do biography every week? You know, that was some solid shit. So this is a solid documentary, and they're talking to everybody. You know, it's not like, oh, well, we didn't see this guy at a convention, so we didn't talk to him. You know, the shit that comes out now that passes for like a biographical documentary, it's fucking bullshit. You know, it's just like, oh, you didn't talk to most important people that would actually probably get this thing to sell or get people to watch it. This one does, Tom. Talks to everybody. It goes through some of his movies that you might have heard of, you know, like Piranha. And stuff like that. You seen that one, Tom, Piranha?
I have. That's a Joe Dante flick.
It is, you know. It talks about another one called The Intruder. You ever heard of that one, Tom?
No.
Neither had I. And this is a William Shatner movie where William Shatner's like a racist rabble rouser. So I gotta hunt that down and watch this. And that is also one of the movies that he really wanted to make because he wanted to send this message and said he didn't make shit for money. It's just, it was like a total bomb. Of course, they didn't want to play it in the South. You know, they said, nah, fuck you. Get out of here with this shit. You know, we ain't playing that here in Alabama. Yeah, this is it's a good documentary, man. And it talks about how like Star Wars and Jaws changed the landscape of filmmaking, you know, because those are basically exploitation movies. So with the success of those movies, Hollywood said, hey, we'll make fucking exploitation movies, you know, but we'll like pump millions of dollars in them. And he's like, well, fuck, man, that sucks. That's my job. That's what I would do. You know, I was like, fuck, what am I going to do now? I guess I will make direct-to-video movies or make movies for Sci-Fi Channel.
I'll pump million of dollar into them.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what he did. He was eventually recognized by the Academy film or whatever the fuck they call that. And got, you know, not one of his films was nominated, but they gave him like the Lifetime Achievement Award, Tom. You know, that's the one where, hey, we've ignored you this whole time, but fuck it. Here's a statue. you know. Yeah, I liked this, man. It was good. It was a good, like, refresher on the dude. And he just seemed like not annoying, like Quentin Tarantino. You know, he's just, like, real business-like. You know, he's, like, doesn't seem like the guy that would have made the kind of movies that he put out. You know, schlock, Tom. Schlock. King of the Bees. It's what they called him. Bee movies, that is, not the insects that buzz around and make honey and stuff. Yeah. I dug it. You know, I got to meet the guy at a convention I did in Kentucky. Got him to sign his book, which is the same thing. If you don't like reading, just watch this documentary, I guess. You know, literacy, it's on the way out, or has been for a number of people already. Yeah. Or do like Tom does. Listen to an audiobook or something, you know, when you're on a long stretch of highway driving to Indiana or someplace classy like that.
Somewhere east of Omaha, yeah. From that long and open highway.
18 wheels, a dozen roses he's got. Yeah, I would recommend this, especially, well, no, whether you're familiar with this guy or not, I think this documentary is one of those that it appeals to, it could appeal to anybody. You know, you don't have to be invested in it. Like watching a documentary on the fucking Monster Squad or something. You know, I think you kind of have to be a fan of that to begin with to want to watch that. I like that movie and I still don't want to watch that documentary. That's just me.
Well, did they interview the Micker?
The Micker.
Good old Mick Garris.
Mick Garris was not on this.
Damn. Well, then Kevin Smith would have had to have been, right?
Hopefully, Kevin Smith was not, you know.
Damn. Neither one of those was in a documentary about movies.
Right.
That's fucking, this must be an amazing documentary.
But Eli Roth was. So, shit, Eli Roth and who else? There's somebody else that was like, oh, not that fuck. But yeah, I was expecting like, oh man, Kevin Smith's going to pop up and start crying or some shit. But no, he didn't, thankfully.
Well, all right, Joe, what are some of your favorite Roger Corman movies?
I like Death Race 2000 a whole lot. I think that movie's fucking badass. I liked that when I was a kid. And is it Big Bad Mama? Yeah, Big Bad Mama is fucking fun. And Big Bad Mama 2 is pretty fun. That has even more nudity. You know, the first one was kind of scant on the nudity. Let's see.
Did you see Throw Big Bad Mama from the Train?
That was not a Corman movie, but I did see that in the theater. And you know what? I didn't think that shit was funny at all.
Especially this close to Mother's Day and all.
The parts in that one were in the trailer. You know, it's just, oh, fuck, I already saw that and laughed at it when I watch it on TV. It's not funny now. Yeah. But I know you don't like Roger Corman because, you know, you've made movies and people that make movies tend to hate anybody else that makes movies. And, you know. I get it, Tom. It's a professional jealousy, or unprofessional jealousy, I should say.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. I was just like, oh, which one of these guys' movies do I like? Fantastic Four is good. Like, it's the best Fantastic Four movie. Was it made to be released? I mean, Crew didn't know that, but I think he did.
He probably does that.
So does that even count? I don't know. And then there's Humanoids from the Deep. It's like, yeah, that's cool. All right, what else is there that I like? I made those Edgar Allan Poe movies, but I don't really like them.
Those, maybe there's one of them, like Mask of the Red Death. I dig that one. But the other one, like The Pit and the Pendulum, and they're okay. You know, not great.
Yeah, I think he's a little before my time because all his stuff is really quaint and cheap now. And then if you look at the stuff that they just slap his name on, like after, what is it, Octoshark or Sharkapus or like everything after that, it's just like, oh, well, this is a different kind of shit. And,
this documentary, they're working on one of the movies while they're filming this. So they show him like some behind the scenes shit, you know, walking around with a clipboard like a producer, I guess, does. Dino Shark, which I never saw.
Why would you?
I, you know, stopped paying attention to sci-fi pretty early on.
Yeah, it's just you hear me fucking bitch and moan about it all the time, but like you know, making the movie for the art and then making the movie for the business. This guy was about making the movie for the business, you know, just shovel out slop and hopefully one of the 84 we release a year will hit. And I mean, that's all right. It's just, you know, none of them besides those two really attracted me. I remember one time I did drive out to a Fry's, which was about 50 minutes away. Because, oh, they have a DVD copy of Galaxy of Terror. I was like, sweet, I heard this was good, and I'm in the mood to watch it. This was before you could just find anything on the internet, you see, Joe. So it was like, oh, shit, they actually have this obscure movie I'm looking for. Sweet. And I watched it, and I was like, all right, I guess I'll sell it.
Yeah, of Terror, that's another one I enjoy, Tom. Thanks for reminding me about that.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
it's about space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's I don't know, just not for me. I don't wish anything bad to happen to him.
I mean, more your style would be like a short film where a guy rapes his father continuously through it. You know, that's more.
Don't you touch him! Yeah. Ari Aster's a national treasure, Joe. Mm-hmm. See, you're smiling because you know it's true.
Good shit.
Memory pops in. Din Din's ready. Ooh, so but chilly.
The thing is, you didn't like any of his other movies because, you know, it doesn't have a son dad in it. You know, because that's your thing. I don't know. You're right.
I wish my dad was around to molest me.
That was, you know, like when you say...
Wait, never mind. I wish my dad was around so I could molest him. That's what I was trying to say.
There you go.
Yeah. Fuck, no, he was cremated. I was going to say, oh, they sell shovels, but yeah, it's not going to do anything. It's fuck a bunch of ash, I guess, and get a penis hole infection. Yeah, but I don't know. I think it was just before and then two after my time.
But, you know, that I always think that's horseshit. You know, when people say, oh, you know, it's about the art. I don't give a fuck about money. Bullshit. Nobody wants to go broke.
Yeah. I mean, some people just do it for the money.
You know, everybody's doing it for money. At the end of it, you want to make some fucking money.
Yeah, but, you know, not everybody takes the job of making a movie that'll, you know, never see the light of day unless they just want that money.
That
sucks for everybody.
Pretty common in the movie industry. There's a lot of shit not released for that reason, so they can take...
All right, let me hear five right now. Fantastic Four is not one of them.
I don't know, because they were never released, Tom.
And no, but it's common.
Nobody's made a documentary about these other ones.
But, I mean, it's all released in the trades, what's in production and what's going to be made.
That make money, you know, that don't make money on paper, like Star Wars. You know, that was considered a financial disaster, right? They fucking wrote that one off and say, oh, fuck, we lost so much money on that. Sucks.
Time to make money. It was still released and it wasn't just made just to sit on the shelf. Okay, give me three.
I don't fucking know. That's not what I prepared for.
All right.
Yeah, but you know what happens, Tom. You know it does.
Yeah, I can't think of any. Okay. Except Fantastic Four. I mean, that Acme one with the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. Hey, I know they made that. And
that's pretty
something happening.
Yeah. And I think they spent quite a bit of money on that, right?
Maybe. I don't know. I've seen a bunch of shit that old, what is it, HBO Max, like their original
content. Frozen again, because speaking of not spending money, the guy needs to pay his goddamn internet bill. Because, oh, he's back. Hey, Tom.
I mean, the internet's paid. Probably give him too much. But, you know, it is what it is, and soldier through, Joe.
All right.
But, yeah, I'm sorry for your loss. Luckily, yeah. You know, there's fucking 343 movies with his name on it you can go back and watch, so he won't be forgotten. I mean, yeah, God bless him for giving all these people jobs and shit for pennies on the dollar or whatever low amount I'm sure they got paid, but you got to start somewhere. I guess there's worse spots for doing stuff in Tromaville.
But I think, like you said, he'll never be forgotten. Well, shit, I think he's already pretty much forgotten, except for people like us that watch a bunch of shit movies. You know,
movie themes.
Yeah, yeah. The average person doesn't know his name or could give a shit.
And that's I think a lot of people do.
Name five.
Roger Corman movies?
Oh, he knows his name? Yeah, of course he knows his own name, Tom.
Name five what?
Huh?
Name five what?
Masks on your website.
Shit. All right, we got the fish dicks right there if you want a fish dicks mask. We got the barber if you want a barber mask. We got a baker. We don't have a butcher or candle maker, though. There's the good old depression mask and get the anxiety mask and fuck it. Just go get it. The eater mask.
That's at dwnproductions.net.
That's right.
Right now, turn this shit off and go head over there and do some shopping.
Hey, make sure to like, share, and subscribe, though. It means a lot to Joe.
I could give a fuck.
Oh, shit. Well, Joe, I just happened to watch the hit motion picture, Humanoids from the Deep. Have you heard of it?
I have heard of this.
This is a Roger Corman classic. Have you heard of him?
I have.
Oh, nice. What's you been up to?
Nothing. Just late.
I hope to see a new one from him soon.
Might.
So this one, some scientist types, I don't know, they're fucking around like those people tend to do, fucking around with some kind of DNA, coming up with a Goliath serum to make them, I don't know, make things strong and grow and turn them into Goliaths and shit. So they inject it into some salmon because people love salmon. If we can genetically alter these fucking salmon, we can make so much money selling this fish to these fat fucks. So that's what we're going to do. Unfortunately, Joe, these, you know, medically induced salmon, they don't take too kindly to being prisoners in these man-made tanks. So they bust out and, you know, free willy themselves into a pond or a lake or a reservoir that happens to contain like these really old dinosaur fish or some shit. They called them something, but it's pretty much dinosaur fish. And then these dinosaur fish eat these genetically altered salmon. And then the babies of these fish turn into humanoids from the deep. And then these monsters come out of the water, kill a bunch of dogs, which fucking sucks. And then they kill a bunch of dudes. And then they fuck a bunch of broads with the muddiest tits you've ever seen. I don't know what the fuck is with this movie. And just fucking the director had to be like, there's not enough dirt on those tits. Throw her on the fucking ground because these are some filthy fucking knockers. But anyways, it's just, yeah, the town coming together to fight off these fishmen. And it's pretty good. I used to think it was fucking awesome. But after this rewatch, it's just like, Tom, slow the fuck down. It's pretty good.
Not great. This one like last year.
Probably. I watch it a lot because I thought it was fucking awesome, Joe. Yeah, I would say, yeah, this is one of my favorite monster movies. I mean, it could still be. I like it, and it has some charm and shit. Just, you know, just because you like something doesn't mean it's good, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. And you're disillusioned by a lot of shit now. So, you know, a lot of when you watch a movie depends on, you know, how you're going to react to it is your mood. And
I was holding back tears, too.
You've been in a garbage mood for shit. 3 years.
39 years. Oh, I'm at 39 years in a month. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A couple days. But yeah, it was, it's all right. It came off a lot more quaint. And, you know, looking at it, just like, yeah, it is kind of cheap. Old Roger did make some cheap movies, didn't he? But still, I liked it. It's not just, yeah, fucking humanoids from the deep. It's just like, oh, yeah, it's a good one. Good stuff. Hot stuff. You like it?
I do.
You love it?
I don't know. I don't think I love it. You know, but like's good enough for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember who directed it.
Bad thing to be pretty good. Sure, everybody wants.
And Tom is gone again. Yeah. You're just going to have to, like, bear with me while... okay, he's back. He's back. So let's get his negativity back going again. And there he is. No, he's just fingering something.
Yeah, I was looking at that. We're back to the 4G, which fucking sucks. We were on 5G, and that was just like, all right, it's great. I was about to hit you up at 1 a.m, like, hey, Joe, it's on 5G. I'm ready to go. But that would be ridiculous, you see. But hey, we'll try and soldier on with this 4G shit that's not very good.
So, yeah, Tom, I watched another movie called... Cosmic Dawn. Have you heard of this one?
Yes, I think I read about it on your Facebook feed. Something about you watching it.
Yeah, so I watched it, and it is about a girl that saw her mom abducted by aliens when they were out camping, and she grows up kind of fucked up, you know, because she saw her mom abducted. That's bound to fuck anybody up, right? So she does some drugs, you know, she parties, she goes to therapy, she's done everything, Tom, but nothing can clear her mind of this shit. And one day she sees some lady, some freaking looking lady, and she just thinks, like, man, I got to get away from this lady. Sneak goes into a bookstore and starts talking to the girl working the bookstore and like, hey, you know, you're interested in aliens, because the girl went over there to look at the alien section, you know, of the bookstore. It's usually where they have the occult section. They put it all together, you know, hey, let's throw all the bullshit together. And right next to that, they'll have like the religion section, you know, with the fucking Left Behind books and all those. But yeah, she says, hey, I'm part of this group. You should come check it out, you know, and she does. And it's like, hey, there's that lady. She's the one that's leading this group. It's a cult, Tom. It's a UFO cult. She decides to go with them, you know, and hang out in their little compound and shit. And eventually decides, nah, man, these fucking people are crazy. But no, they want to keep her there because she's the chosen one, Tom. They need her. They need her to transcend. So they could do it. She's like, no, this lady's full of shit, you know? And the girl that was with her from the bookstore, her dad comes to save her from there, you know, to like fucking rescue her from the cult and everything. Ends up killing the lady, you know, the head honcho lady. And then we're 4 years in the future now, which is the present. I guess that was 4 years in the past. It's all jumbled together. You know, it gets kind of confusing a little, but
bottom line is there may or may not be a new president.
The lady is back. She's back, Tom. And it's like, how can this be? So she has to go and like, what's up? Oh shit, these people really are in contact with the with aliens and shit. And you know, it does some 2001 stuff, you know, where lights are flashing and all that. And then it just ends anticlimactic, and it was okay, yeah, except for the last 20 minutes when all this shit's supposed to come to a head, and really, you know, you don't really care. I was like, okay, yeah, there are aliens. It wasn't bullshit. All right, oh, there's her mom. Yeah, who cares? Wait, is that her mom? I don't fucking know. Nobody knows. I don't even think the people that wrote it know. You know, they needed somebody like Roger Corman to reel them in a little and say, hey, you know, why don't you just throw some tits on here? You know, or have some big explosions. And it's like, yeah, that's what the people want, man. They don't want this shit where they have to think. You know,
if you cut down on those lights, I can have a couple more bucks.
So, yeah, Cosmic Dawn. I don't know, man. I guess if you're into alien shit, give it a watch. Other than that, nah, just leave it behind.
So the big reveal's just like, oh, there were aliens.
Yeah. Well, the cult was onto something.
At least it's original.
Yeah.
Oh fuck. Oh, I'm looking at this like it's my list of stuff. It's not.
Not.
Joe, I watched Hit Motion Picture Aquanoids. Have you heard of it?
No.
It's Humanoids from the Deep ripoff. I surprisingly watched this before Humanoids from the Deep. I don't think they might have explained where the fish people came from. Who cares? They don't even look like fish people. They look like psoriasis demons or something.
Look like?
You know, like fish people.
Like gills on the side of their necks?
Yeah.
Scaly?
Yeah.
Whiskers? You know, like catfish?
Some of them, yes, if they're catfish or those sharks that have them. Shark fishes.
Webbed fingers and stuff.
I don't remember if this one did. But I mean, these creatures really look like a humanoid body, like with all the skin, it just inflamed with psoriasis. And then it had like a spooky brow going down with some sharp teeth. It was kind of like skull-like, kind of like a shadow demon type thing. Wasn't the best design, especially for a fish monster. With maybe like
arc around the face and everything and guns.
No, it looked like something. Maybe it even had horns. I was gonna say it looked like something that probably should have had horns, but maybe it did. Not the big, you know,
like a narwhal.
Yes, like a sperm whale. You got it.
Okay.
You know, it's what is it? Like the bad guys in it, or the mayor and his boyfriend, they're trying to make sure the shopping center gets built. Wait, so he can... What?
A fucking mayor?
Yeah. Merab. It's some California town.
Oh, mayor.
Yes.
You're talking about a horse. It's like they're horse seahorses.
Yes. This is an animated movie.
Okay.
Using a lot of puppets. Yeah, so he wants the shit to get built so he can get tax money or whatever. Did but some
bubbly, you know,
No, they do have an underwater camera, though, because it's not shot well enough to be stock footage. So they definitely had the money for an underwater, like, housing, at least.
They got underwater houses.
Yes, it's a pineapple.
So what about their eyes? Are their eyes all black like goldfish, or...
No, I think their eyes are like all black, like a cheap cutout mask. You know how like that whole eye part's cut out? Yeah, it just looks like a... Was that something you reused from another movie? Because that doesn't look... You know, like them shitty looking starfishes that just like look infected and they're all bumpy and you're just like, ah. Kind of like psoriasis, really. I don't know how else to fucking describe this fucking thing.
That all the time, like, oh, you know, I take this for my psoriasis, you know. And I always think of the liver when somebody talks about psoriasis. You know, that's my fucking big concern. You know, so does that shit help with psoriasis of the liver too? It's just like, I don't know. So you can wear shorts outside.
You're thinking of cirrhosis.
Maybe. Yeah, that's it. Cirrhosis. You're right. Yeah.
This is psoriasis. It's like skin AIDS kind of. It's something with the immune system and your skin gets all cracked and blotchy and it's not fun.
Like sunburn? Like when your skin starts peeling?
No, like scabs. Like I don't have any right now because I've been taking medicine and shit, but it like scales, they call it. Like your skin just raises up and you kind of get like, you turn into the thing almost. And it can like crack and bleed and hurt. Like my hands would just, my hands and my cock. That would be the most places because they say, what is it, like traction fucks up the shit. So, you know, I use my hands a lot and then do some hard pounding when I fuck. So, you know, that'll swell up the old dick and make your hands break out into blisters and shit. So, you know, it sucks. Our medical system is the way it is where I got to pay so much for insurance.
Yeah, just why, to get it. Why would Alicia Masters even want to be with the thing? You know, it's like feel is her, you know, it's like I fucking scrape her hands up and shit. Yeah. Like
he has to wear a condom so her insides don't get all rubbed up against and mutilated and shit.
Stanley didn't fucking think this shit out. Anyway.
Stanley didn't think a lot of things out, Joe.
No, he didn't. He's no Roger Corman, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, kinda.
Kinda is.
But yeah, I mean, so, like, if you like cheap monster movies, this one's okay. It's not good. It's more bad than good, but... Does the mayor what?
Get reelected.
He might get killed. He might have got killed. I don't know. I watched this Monday. So kind of, I forgot about, talked about it too long, Joe. What did you watch?
I watched A Banquet. Have you heard of this one, Tom?
I know they were TV dinners.
This is not an A24 movie, but it very much could be an A24 movie. This starts out, a family, their terminally ill dad dies, and so the girl goes to a party, does some coke, but it's not coke, and they're just laughing at her, you know, her friends or whatever, her boyfriend, like, had her snort this shit, and it's not even a drug, this is like talcum powder or something. They're just fucking with her. That's kind of shitty. That's probably the shittiest thing in this movie, aside from the movie itself. But so she goes and wanders in the woods, and there's a blood moon out that day, Tom. She wanders back and she's like all fucking disoriented or whatever. So they call her mom to pick her up. She takes her back home, blah, blah, blah. And then she just like doesn't want to eat anymore. And I was like, well, what the fuck? Why don't you want to eat, you dumb little bitch? That's her mom's words, not mine. Her mom's kind of pissed, you know, that she's not eating. You know, she worked hard for that fucking meal. You know, and now she don't want to eat. But anyway, she thinks like she's been selected by an angelic presence, and she can see visions of the pending apocalypse, Tom. And so she can't eat because it'll interfere with the visions she's having. And the mom says, all right, well, fuck it. You know, look, we're going to weigh you. You're not fucking, she keeps weighing her. And no matter what, Tom, even though it's like 4 weeks passes and she's still weighing 9 stone whenever she's on that scale. Yeah, this is a British movie. 9 stone. I don't know what the fuck that means, you know, but apparently that they have scales that say 9S on them. So every time, you know, she hadn't lost any weight. Her little sister's getting jealous, you know, it's like, hey, why, you know, maybe I'll stop eating, you know, if you're going to pay all attention to her, you know, because of this, maybe I'll do that too, you know, and it's just, you know, everybody's mad at each other. And then finally the girl dies, you know, and then the mom goes outside. She's all upset. And then she starts to glow and look all surprised. And then the movie ends.
So the twist in this one is that there actually was aliens.
They're all pricks, Tom, is what it is. No, it doesn't tell you that an apocalypse has happened. It doesn't tell you shit, you know? And like there's a scene where the mom gets on the scale, you know, and it goes to 9 stone. Oh, shit.
Well, the scale was fucked up. Get a new scale.
Daughter had fucked with the scale so it could do that the whole time, you know, and it's just stupid, man. It was a waste of time, but it was shot really well, Tom, and the acting was pretty good, so I kept watching it, you know. I was like, that's gonna go somewhere at some point. Nope, fuck me, didn't do shit.
A boy, I'm gonna fuck with me parents, tinker with this scale a little bit, and slowly kill myself because they didn't buy me a pony for Christmas. I think they might celebrate that there, yeah?
Boxing Day? I don't know.
There you go. Huh. Well, it sounded pretty cool. I wish you didn't spoil it.
Hey, watch it.
No.
unfortunately, it didn't come out this year, so it's not making a list.
You ever see a grandmother's house?
No.
So this one, a couple of kids, I don't know, one hopefully is a fucking senior in high school who's 18 years old, and the other one is, I don't know, younger. And their dad just died. Their mom died fucking a few years before, so now they got to go live with their elderly grandparents, and they take a bus there, and they see this crazy lady on the road. The bus has to swerve to hit them, and then the fucking bus driver just leaves them somewhere, and they have to walk down this long-ass road to their grandparents' house. And I was thinking, oh, shit, the grandparents must be really fucking old and feeble and shit. No, not really. I guess they just didn't fucking love these kids enough to go meet them at the bus stop, at least. Like, Jesus, fuck, you're gonna... And then, you know, oh, what spooky things happening at our grandparents' house. They're bringing these bodies home, and, oh, are they... What's going on? I guess their mom wasn't dead, and she's just a crazy person, and now she's coming back to fucking... be with the kids or whatever. It's not good. They have this weird shit where they make, it's this kind of shit you like, where they make this fucking kid a sex object and they fucking focus in on her in a bikini, like close up of her fucking chest and her pelvic area and her backside. And it's just like, what the fuck are we doing here? Like, what the fuck are we doing here? But if you want,
comic book writer, you know, that is grooming kids.
Yeah, I don't know. If you want to check it out, you can head on over to Vinegar Syndrome and pick up the Blu-ray, though.
Probably won't be doing that.
Me neither. I went to Tubi.
Tom.
Not good. Sorry.
Now, I don't have it with me because I've taken it to the shop, so I don't remember to, so I don't forget it, and taken it to Frightmare Weekend and slap a price tag on it. But the Mario Bava collection, Volume 2, I'm done with it. I watched the little scene film 4 times that night. Yeah. This is supposed to be a sex comedy, Tom. You know, old Bava sticking his toes into that pool. You know, sex comedies were huge in Italy. So why shouldn't he make one? So this, it's got a guy cruising around, real horn dog type, you know, cruising around a little sports car, you know, checking out all the chicks, checking out all the action. He sees one lady walking a dog and like she's bending over to, I don't know, give the dog some scratches behind the ears or something. And, you know, he stops the car and he's got to go ask her out and everything. And then that's where the movie diverges, Tom. It gets artistic. It becomes Rashomon from Akira Kurosawa, where the date is told by several different people, you know, to get a different perspective. And the first perspective is the lady on that date. Pretty attractive young lady, you know, for an Italian, you know. She is making it out to be that this guy was super fucking aggressive, you know, rapey to the point of, you know, just like, man, this guy just, you know, fucking popped into the bedroom and he comes out and he's just naked and telling her, let's go, bitch. And, you know, she's not having it. She was just trying to get away from him the whole time. Now, when the guy tells the story, it's the opposite. You know, he's very timid, and she was just coming on to him. You know, she was asking for it, literally asking for it, you know, not asking, pretty much demanding it, if you know what I mean. So, yeah, so that's his perspective. And then we see the doorman, the, I guess, the super of the apartment. You know, he goes and opens the gates for people, too, when they're locked out. Well, turns out he's a big horn dog and got up to some area and was watching them with some binoculars, Tom, you know, just like looking in the window, doing the peeping Tom bit. Now, what he saw was like the guy had invited some friends over, you know, this buddy of his and his sister. And like him and his buddy, they snuck off to the bedroom and the sister was just hitting on this chick. You know, so it was some humor directed at homosexuals, Tom, which is not cool, not cool. But Italians seem to think that's funny. And then there was another perspective, and I don't remember who this guy was because I'd lost interest a long time before that. And I think it was just like a regular date, but not fucking, you know, nothing special about it. The end. Hey, Mario Bava, you suck, dude. You fucking suck. Out of all those movies I watched, 2 box sets, there was one that I really enjoyed. There was maybe 2 others that I thought, hey, that's okay. And the rest of it was just pure fucking boring horseshit. Most overrated director. I've said this over and over and over. Y'all are full of shit. There's no way you like this guy's stuff. You're just, you know, finding something that you're going to latch on to. Oh, I'm going to champion this guy, you know. I'm going to be the guy that likes Bava and tells everybody about Bava. Fuck you. Fuck you.
What was this one called again?
4 times that night.
All right, just making sure, because we got cut off yet again at the beginning of that, so.
Yeah, I mean, like, he has to throw these stupid titles. It's not just him. All those Italians were doing that. Oh, 3 geese on a telephone wire.
All you got to say is plumage. All right, dickhead. All right. Fucking Mama Ragu over here. Hey, Joe, I watched the Deadpool Dirty Harry 5. This one, Dirty Harry, is back for the fifth and final time. And as you know, all these movies take place in San Francisco. And they figure, oh, this is the last one. We'll put an Asian in this because it is San.
Hey, Tom's out again, but it's San
Francisco. A couple times they go to Asian town.
Oh, he's back.
All right, so take two. Hey, Joe, I watched Dirty Harry 5.
The Deadpool?
Yes, the Deadpool, based on the hit Marvel Disney Comics character of the same name.
Rest in peace, Rob.
Love you, miss you. In this one, Dirty Harry is back, but this time he has an Asian partner because they live in San Francisco and all. Can you believe it that this fucking guy knows Kung Fu? I fucking seen that, and I'd be like, they can't all know this shit. This movie's racist as hell. So this one is about a horror movie being made called Hotel Satan. And Jim Carrey's the star of it. And in real life, in the movie, he's like a drug-addicted rocker, like a stereotype. And he's banging heroin and shit. And they're doing a scene where it's an Exorcist ripoff. And for some reason, they're singing, Welcome to the Jungle! That's Guns N' Roses shit. And he's doing his Jim Carrey rubber face lip sync and shit. And it's goddamn ridiculous. I'm surprised more people don't talk about this movie for this bullshit alone. But what's his nuts? The middle Obi-Wan, maybe he's still the newer one. What's his nuts? The mate bloke. Oi, I'm the mate. Oh, Liam Neeson. He's the director of the movie, and he has a fucking questionable little ponytail he's rocking. And on set of this movie, they have like a Deadpool. A couple of the crew members have a Deadpool game they're doing. It's like, hey, pick 5 celebrities or whatever you think are going to die soon. And whoever gets the most at the fucking end of this period gets blown or whatever. So people on the list start coming up dead. And old Dirty's name is on the list. And he's trying to track down to some bitch who's doing this killing. And at the end, he tracks the some bitch down. He's doing this killing and shoots him through the fucking chest with a harpoon. It was pretty sweet, Joe. All the Dirty Harry movies have been pretty fucking dope. Again, there's a lot of horror elements in this. Like, there's fucking masks. The Halloween 3 witch is used on posters for, like, this guy's movies. The main backdrop is them making this horror movie. So the fact that this one isn't talked about more in horror crowds is fucking weird. But yeah, they've been pretty fucking dope, Joe. Can you believe that? We found one. Sure, it's a fucking UK release. That's what these little things down here mean. It's region free, but still, hey, they made it. Clint Eastwood couldn't be bothered to record audio commentary tracks, but it's filled with special features. Look at all those special features there, Joe. So yeah, hey, we found one. Joe hit me up. She was like, hey, you didn't look hard enough, fat boy. I found the fucking Blu-ray release you were asking for on my first shot. I was like, oh, yeah, thanks, but I already bought it. But yeah, like 20-some bucks shipped used. So fuck that $50 shit I was yammering on about. But yeah, the good shit, they're all solid. Sudden Impact's probably my favorite. And for a lot of people, that's their least favorite. But like I said, these last two, they felt more horror than exploitation or cop drama or whatever this series started out as. It slowly turned into like a slasher movie. And again, sucks we never got Dirty Harry versus Paul Kersey, but it is what it is. If you've never seen them, check them out. They're good shit for sure. Faux life. Remember Wolfpack? Hell yeah. Don't turn your back on him. Talking to you, Corey Feldman.
Hey, Tom, I watched another documentary. This one's called Street Gang: How We Got to Sesame Street. It's a documentary, as the title would lead you to believe, about Sesame Street and how it impacted not just the people that made it, but the people that watched it. How it impacted a generation, Tom. Did you watch Sesame Street when you were a kid?
I did. I think it was like only a couple years, though. I think I told this story before, but when I was a wee lad, I had this animatronic Big Bird, and the gimmick was like you put a tape in the bottom, and the mouth would move along with whatever was playing. And that motherfucker just went off in the middle of the night. And I went, wah! Ran around the house holding that shit over my head like a sacrifice and just threw it down the stairs into the basement and shattered that motherfucker. I don't know how many hours my dad had to work to get that, but I'm sure the fucking laughs they had at my expense was worth it. Oh, but yeah, I watched some fucking Sesame Street in my day.
Okay, yeah, so this was about them wanting to make a TV show, an educational TV show that was also entertaining and didn't talk down to kids. And me, having raised a kid, knows that a lot of those shows that they make for kids are pretty fucking insulting, and they're pretty fucking stupid. You know, it's just inane bullshit. And I guess that has its place too, you know, but Sesame Street wanted to do something different. They wanted to mainly gear it towards inner city kids, or, you know, low income kids that, you know, they didn't get like the preschooling or the shit like that. So, you know, so they wouldn't lose a step, not knowing their ABCs or their numbers before they got into kindergarten or what have you, Tom.
Yeah, a bunch of guilty white people assuming shit. I understand.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is, you know, they got some actors, they got some puppeteers together, and they put out some quality shit, you know. Sesame Street was fucking good. You know, and they got a lot of people to contribute their time, you know, to make songs and do shit, you know, do little jingles or make guest appearances. And it just shows, like, well, again, just like that Intruder movie I was talking about, how this show, like in Alabama and Mississippi, they didn't want it on the public access because it was an integrated cast, you know.
You take that goddamn orange puppet off my fucking TV screen. You're telling me an orange puppet and a yellow puppet are living together and sleeping in the same bed? My God, what if my child saw this? Sir, 700 pounds. You wear a flannel shirt and you live in Alabama. Nobody's gonna fuck you. So don't worry about having kids. Worry about the massive heart attack I'm sure you're gonna have from that southern cooking.
Yeah, we'll get to body positivity bullshit later. But yeah, man, this is really good. This is a you know, they put a lot of work into this shit. Of course, I like, you know, Jim Henson and Frank Oz. You know, I think they do some fucking spectacular shit. even when it wasn't with Sesame Street. I just, you know, like their fucking work altogether. And yeah, this goes through some, like, there was a shopkeeper in the show. You know, he had like a little store. And in between one of the seasons, you know, that dude died. He was an old man, you know. And like, hey, how are we going to do this? You know, are we just going to put somebody else in the store after the character? No, man, we got to confront this. We got to fucking, you know, we got to let the kids know, hey, people die. I'm sure these kids have known, you know, that somebody's died in their life. And, you know, it has a whole scene that they aired, you know, where Big Bird wants to go show that shopkeeper a picture. And they had to explain to Big Bird that, ah, he's dead. And it's fucking, it gets you, dude. You know, if it doesn't get you, you're just a stone cold motherfucker. No heart whatsoever.
That fucking segment or clip or whatever on a lot of stuff when they talk about Sesame Street.
I'd never seen anything on Sesame Street. This is the first documentary that I've seen on it. And I tend not to watch any of the documentaries that HBO does. I don't know why.
Man, fuck you. Pimps Up, Hoes Down for life.
Well, that was a series, wasn't it?
No, it was a movie. Hookers at the Point was a series.
Okay. So yeah, so I didn't even watch this one on HBO. I watched it on Redbox. You know, I could have watched it on HBO without commercials, but I said, fuck HBO. You know, I'll watch it on Redbox.
I want to give a man named Carol some money. Sit through those commercials.
Yeah, I like this. I like this a lot. I think if I'd have watched it on the year it came out, it would have made a list. It would have made a best of list. This is really, really good.
They talked to your boy, Kevin Clash.
I don't know who that is.
Elmo?
No, they didn't cover any Elmo shit.
No. They talk about that puppet with AIDS?
No, they didn't get to any of that. It was just, I guess when it was still just on public television. I don't know. I don't know where no AIDS puppet came on the scene.
I want to say, dude. I was going to say, in the last 5-10 years, and we're getting fucking old, though. So I'm not sure when it was, but that was like they're introducing a puppet. Probably when Charlie Sheen was running wild with his tiger blood bullshit. There's like, oh, now we got to explain this to the fucking children. Let's introduce a fucking puppet.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, if it comes across and it's somewhere I can see it, I'll have it on in the background for sure. The one I'm looking forward to is that Jim Henson documentary that's supposed to come out at the end of the month.
Didn't they already do it?
I don't know. I mean, they did a lot, but the dude's fucking dope.
Yeah, I mean, I'll watch it, but I don't know. I guess everybody that was on public television's got their documentary out now.
They need to do is a fucking Stan Winston documentary. He did so much fucking dope fucking, not he, but I mean the company he ran and the people who fucking worked for made a bunch of dope ass shit. And they broke off and made a bunch of dope ass shit. Man, just give me like a fucking hour and 40 minutes of the making of the Goro animatronic for Mortal Kombat and that'd be the best shit ever. God damn. If only I can go back in time with a little Deadpool transportation belt or bandolier, whatever the fuck he had, and bring my futuristic video camera and record all the steps of making old Goro.
You can, go to the conventions and interview everybody but Stan Winston, you know?
Oh, he's too busy to be there. He's old jet setting with James Cameron and shit. Going to some island, some E-Guy's island. I don't know what the fuck they were doing.
Not good.
Bricks. Well, Joe, I fucking hate to do this to you, but it is Monday and all. You know what that means, don't you?
Yes.
Tales from the Crypt, season 6, episode 10, In the Groove. This one, it starts out with
one bar left.
Oh, Miguel Ferrer. Oh, I thought you were switching out. All right, never mind. Tales from the Crypt, season 6, episode 10, In the Groove, starts out with the intro. This one stars your boy, old Miguel Ferrer. In it, the Crypt Keeper, he's a driving school instructor. And then we get into the story. It's about a radio station. Sister owns it. A brother does like a phone sex radio show. Kind of weird. I've never heard of anything like this where, you know, the host is just like doing audio porno, I guess. Anyways, his ratings suck. The dude after him is fucking killing it, and he's fucking a cameo by Slash. And, you know, his sister says, hey, I'm bringing you in a new co-host, and it's this lady. And they hit it off. Do really well. They fucking do so well that old Miguel Ferrer says, hey, I'm gonna kill my sister and then I'll take over the fucking radio station and we'll be the biggest radio station ever. So he goes to kill her. Fucking the sister knew about him gonna kill her the whole time because you know, oh, I'm glad you met my new hire. Who cares? They were fucking in on it. It was all a setup. Fucking it sucks. I mean,
Tales from the Crypt.
Season 6 fucking sucks. I don't know what to tell you. Is it as bad as season 7? No, because in season 7 they have those shitty accents. But still, this one's pretty bad. Turns out the Crypt Keeper got into a little fender bender. He was getting roadhead. Says something about sucking dick. And we're the fuck out of here. So yeah, a few more episodes to go. And really, really not good. If only it was as good as the nostalgia wants you to believe it was. But it isn't. It isn't.
Brought to you by...
So if you liked whatever this was, head on over to this channel right here and check out the podcast that we do every week. Joe says a little bit more, but not much. And if you just want the audio version, you can go to boygob.com and check that out. But why would you? You're fucking dumb. That's why you're fucking dumb. Stupid dumb bitch. Hey, Joe, you watch anything else?
Nope.
Tales from the Crypt. Season 6, episode 11, will hopefully be recorded Wednesday, so stay tuned. Joe, there's few things in life that make me giggle more than a fat Asian, because you don't see them that often, and it's just like, I thought their government wouldn't let them get that big, but I guess it's a new day. So they do. It's unfortunate they let him get those shitty haircuts too, Joe. But for some reason, you wanted to talk about a snow monster versus ice shark. So here we are to talk about snow monster versus ice shark. The hit motion picture from the Chinese Roger Corman equivalent, probably. Joe, take it away.
I saw this last Monday, so I've forgotten most of it, which is not a big loss. Some expeditions out in the snow, and they got like a little snowmobile and like some girl.
It's not a snowmobile. I mean, it is, but when you say snowmobile, you think it's just like a jet ski with fucking skis on it. This is like an Arctic Punisher van.
This is like a snow Winnebago then. And yeah, they're out there, and I don't know, the earth starts shaking or whatever. They disappear. And so they go find this other guy who was like the world's greatest adventurer at one point, but he stopped doing all that shit to have an antique shop where people try to steal stuff, but he karates them. And, you know, it's his brother, his fat brother, asks him, hey, you need to come back because so-and-so, your old flame, she's missing. She's part of this expedition that went missing. All right, they go, and, like, you know, he knows more shit than people think he does. Blah, blah, blah. There's some internal conflict. And then, hey, all of a sudden, there's this big old snow creature walking around. And he's just like, oh, yeah, I'm a big snow creature. And some sharks jump out of the ice. And one shark jumps out of the ice. And he just, like, slams that shark up against the snow wall and, like, kills it. And that's the snow shark confrontation there. Because this movie wasn't called Snow Shark or shit. It was just called Snow Beast or something. Yeah, they just threw that in so some fucking dumbass Americans could watch it like we ended up doing. Thanks, Tom. Yeah, I don't know. They meet some natives, and then there's a scientist guy that, you know, wants to get the snow creature's semen so he can make $1 million or something. And I don't know. They fight the snow creature, and I don't remember how it ends. You know, I'm sure the bad guy got his and the good guys, you know, got away, and like maybe the snow creature winked at him. Wink. Hey, you know, off into the snow.
Well, Joe, the good guys did get away, but at what loss? But at what loss?
Oh, low power mode.
So, yeah, this is kind of like a Chinese version of King Kong, but in the snow. They got like the you know, the native Eskimos or whatever the fuck they are, that, you know, they worship the snow beast and shit. And yeah, it's kind of basic. I'm surprised this was an actual guy in a suit. Sure, it was shot on fucking green screen and, you know, obscured with shitty snow effects, but at least it was a guy in a suit, I guess. And, you know, they made a bunch of skeletons to throw around here and there on a set, so it was okay. It's a very, very okay movie.
It came off as like a kid movie, you know, and I could see, like, if you're a kid, like, maybe being into it, you know, it, because most of the early Godzilla movies, not the early one, not the first two, but the majority of the Godzilla movies, they're kids movies, you know. They got
say the majority, but the later Showa era, faux show.
Showa era, all that. Mr. fucking Godzilla nerd.
Oh, I don't know. I know the Showa era.
Yeah. So this is more like a Showa era Godzilla movie, you know, with some goofiness and, you know.
I don't think it really is, though, because there's some blood. You know, there's a little bit of gore. And, you know, when you're fucking romping around with Manila and they're watching Godzilla fight Kentakerus or Krakadeer or whatever those mantises are called, it's...
I don't know. We fucking saw Gamera get stabbed like 80 times.
Yeah, but he didn't piss out red. Wasn't it like green blood or some shit? I mean, this was like actual human blood and gore.
Still blood, Tom.
I mean, it's different. I mean...
Yeah, so we agree this is like a kid's movie, like those Godzilla. You know?
I can't say it's a kid's movie because of the blood and the little bit of gore there is, but I mean, it's tame. I wouldn't be fucking, you know, if a kid wanted to watch it, I'd be like, yeah, what's wrong with this?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like fucking Big Bird, you know, they're not going to get traumatized for life or anything, but yeah.
Yeah, surprisingly, the fucking dude knows kung fu. I don't know. I mean, they can't all know kung fu, Joe. It has to be just a fucking movie thing.
The dubbing on this was funny.
Yeah.
Shitty voices going on here. I think it's all the same guy doing all the fucking voices. But
at one time, one of the Chinese guys talks like this. And it was the goddamnedest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, he does, brother. He does talk like this.
If you've seen like a lot of monster movies and you like monster movies and you want one you can kind of giggle at, then maybe, but you'd have to watch like a lot of other shit first. Like, I can't recommend this to anybody unless, yeah, I like monster movies and yeah, I've seen everything else. All right, then give it a shot, I guess. But yeah, I'll never shop here again. I mean, there's no reason, but it was okay. Very, very middle of the road. Yep, that was their take on a King Kong. All right. Sweet.
Snow Kong.
Now, I mean, it's the snow ape or whatever the fuck it is. So, and the fucking, that anatomy was fucked up. Its tail was literally coming out of its asshole. You see the fucking thing walk away and it's like, what's going on here? Even if you say, oh no, it has long fur and it's just, no, it's not. The fucking bones like literally coming out of the fucking creature's asshole. So that was weird, but at least it was a guy in a suit.
What's next?
Well, at least this one was a movie. I'll say that. You could say, hey, at least this one was a movie. And I didn't say, oh, why didn't they at least try? This one doesn't seem like it was shot in 4 days. Maybe five.
What's the next one?
I think the next one was Post-Apocalyptic Commando Shark. Okay. And this is the only one I picked specifically because I remember wanting to see this when it came out and I just never did. And when I typed in shark, I said, oh, great. Hey, it's on Tubi. Terrific. We'll add this one to the list. I'm sure it's going to be something. Let me ask you this, Joe. You ever just go wild or mad? I forget, dude. I read this shit yesterday and I pretty much already forgot, but it's another who gives a fuck issue.
All of the Spider books this month were who gives a fuck. In Marvel Team Up, he teamed up with the Shroud. Thinks the Shroud's a villain at first and fights him, but no, they end up teaming up to fight some, I don't know. Anyway, in Peter Parker's Spectacular Spider-Man, there's some lady named Belladonna, and she's going after some fashion dude who is written like he's a homosexual, and you know, he's wearing a little scarf and everything, and he's stealing everybody's fashion, so kind of mad at that. And what I read was David Michelin got a lot of hate mail for the way he portrayed this guy. I don't know. Anyway, the issue sucked, and they should have just complained because it sucked. And then I read the conclusion of that whole Frightful Four thing, Fantastic Four, and but the Frightful Four is beating them at first, and then they beat the Frightful Four. It sucked. But in Spider-Man's, it's that whole subplot with Jerklin being all crazy and stuff, and it turns out that doctor scientist guy that gave him his fucking looks and shit, and the Will-O-The-Wisp gave him his powers. He's been using some machine to make everybody go, you know, get angry, you know, and that's why Joan has been over the cop this whole time, because even Joe Robertson was getting angry with this shit. Anyway,
slowly giving this guy brain cancer by shooting him in the head from across the street with a laser ray over fucking months and months.
Spider-Man beats him. J. Jonah Jerklin, he's back. Sucks. It was stupid.
Yeah, this was nothing. There's been a lot of nothing issues before, but...
No, I don't like lists, Tom. But you wanted to go through road trip memories. So at number 5, I put seeing an 18-wheeler wreck right in front of us and then stopping and helping the guy and his kid get out of the truck and everything. That was memorable.
Tune in to episode 213 if you want to hear the whole story.
Yeah.
Joe was a hero that day. My number 5 was blowing out a tire in Louisiana on the way to Old Mask Fest and having to fucking drive on the rim few miles to a discount tire in Louisiana. And it took them hours and hours and hours to change the tire, even though no one else was there because it was Louisiana. Fuck you.
Sneaking into the Las Vegas Comic Con. Hey, they were having a convention. I just walked in and checked it out.
Oh, I don't know when this was. I'm pretty sure I was able to drive then. It was probably my mid to late teens. The thing to do was my sister and I would drive back and forth from here to Chicago and, you know, smoke not too good marijuana because that's all you could find at the time. So we just have blunts and bowls going like it wasn't shit. Oh, spray something. It doesn't matter. This is what the fuck you do. You just get fucking ripped and drive across country smoking fucking garbage weed. So we just got done smoking. I have the bowl on my lap and, you know, we're driving for however and pull off, oh, we gotta get gas. So I get up to fucking do whatever, get gas or pump the gas, get something from inside. I stand up, get out of the car, and you just hear a light bulb break. Rest in peace, that bull. No more smoking the rest of the trip up there, because this was before the days where every gas station just sold that shit at the front counter. So, yeah, sad day. Sad, sad day.
Stopping at museums, quirky museums. That's something Lisa and I do when we go on a road trip. And I guess the last one we did was the Houston Funeral Museum, which... I thought it was going to be small, rinky-dink like all the other ones we go to. This was actually pretty damn cool.
They had the Paul Bearer memorabilia.
They had some, yeah.
My number 3. Oh, hey, did you ever go and see The Thing in Arizona?
No.
No, it's like the big roadside attraction.
Yeah, there's miles and miles away from it. There's billboards that get increasingly more enticing, I guess it's supposed to be.
Have you seen The Thing. I mean, it's a mummy. They fucking like built more shit up. Old Red had a video where they like built up like kind of a museum thing with like dinosaurs and shit, but the Thing's a mummy.
Yeah.
So if you want to go see a mummy.
You know, he did like I did with Las Vegas Comic Con. He just went in there.
Started... You fucking thief.
Fuck the system, Red. Fuck it.
So yeah, number three was getting pulled over by the police for suspicion of drug trafficking. You know, this was a few years ago. I was driving through Illinois on my way back and had a cracked windshield, and they said that's why they pulled me over. I want to believe it's because of how I look, but, you know, that's what they told me. And, you know, they searched everything and found the one hitter and maybe the gram I had with it in my pack of squares. But that's all they found. So they said, sir, you're free to go. And I said, thanks for not being thorough. And I was back, but they were. These were fucking cocksuckers, too. They were just pulling masks out of boxes and letting them drop on the fucking floor and shit. I specifically remember two of these motherfuckers I had to repaint because of dirt and shit. Just these fucking idiots letting them sit there. So fuck them. I always remember. He's like, hey, you know why I pulled you over? It's like, yep, because it's the job you chose. Mm-hmm. Fucking pricks.
I'll listen to Cop Killer after we're done. Driving through a hailstorm. This was just less than a year ago, coming up on a year. And having that hailstorm just demolish that car that I was in. Not fun. Not a good time. It was quite frightening.
She got the insurance, so it all worked out.
Gonna get a rental car, get that insurance.
And it wasn't too frightening that you had the time to, you know, take an angry-looking selfie of yourself. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
I do.
Me too.
What else you got?
Nothing.
I'm waiting there to die. Might as well get one last shot out.
You could have listened to conservative AM talk radio.
I don't know that the radio was going at that point. Oh, you wouldn't have been able to hear it anyway.
No, because of the interference.
No, because of all the fucking banging from the fucking...
okay, right.
All sides.
Because of the meteors hitting the car.
Meteor shit, yeah.
Oh, man, I can't wait to talk about fucking Creepshow next week.
Hey, Tom, could those fish people hold their breath for a long time?
Which ones, the aquanoids or the humanoids from the deep? The
mayor.
I mean, he had a boyfriend, so I figure he could hold his breath for a long time. Yeah. Oh, this was probably my oldest road trip memory. I don't know. Pretty young. We were on our way to Orlando, Florida to do the, the family Orlando, Florida vacation. Pardon me. And at one stop, I lost one of my comfort animals and noticed that it was missing however many miles down the road. But, I was such a bitch and wouldn't shut up about it for who knows how fucking long that, you know, they drove back and we got it, Joe. We got it. So shout out to my parents for putting up with my, what I'm sure is bitchly ass shit.
Number one demanding that I talk to the hotel manager because the front desk person wouldn't tell me what room number I was in. You know, we don't have a room for you, sir. We don't have your name in our system. Fuck you. I checked in just, you know, 8 hours ago. Just tell me what my room is. Print me out another key. You know, and I was in the wrong hotel because I'm a drunken asshole.
That happens a lot, Joe. Not that you go to the wrong hotel. Well, I don't have my key. Where am I supposed to go? I remember that happening just last year.
Well, you know, that's their job. They're supposed to direct me where to go, you know?
Yeah.
No? If you don't want to fucking put up with that shit, don't put work in a hotel. And that's the end of this show. So, if you guys like this shit, why should you? You know, I don't believe that you like this shit for a second, just like I don't believe anybody likes Bava. I don't know why I do it. You know, it's just I should be asleep or reading something, doing something entertaining. But anyway, fastcustomshirts.com, shirts, dwmproductions.net, masks, movies, props, you know, custom work if you want it, flyers. You know, you want some flyers or something, Tom will throw a flyer in there. But that's after this week when he gets the flyers. But, yeah, join us next week. And, boy, Gob.
Number one.
Oh, yeah, you didn't do your number one. Shit.
Roadhead.
Hey, what are you doing, Skyler?
Boy, Gob.